Welcome to the Restoration Church podcast, Behind the Sermon, where we get to sit in on a conversation between our pastors and hear about what they're learning, what they're teaching, and what God is doing throughout our church. Enjoy the podcast.
Hello, welcome to Behind the Sermon. I'm here with Pastor Stephen.
Hey, Pastor Jeremy, how are you?
What's up? And I'm Pastor Jeremy. I got the privilege of opening up a new series this week, so we're going to dive into that. But before we do that, we should celebrate. We should celebrate an amazing Easter.
Yes.
Which I think you guys already did in the last podcast, but I wasn't there.
It's your turn now.
I can't believe how much fun Easter was.
I asked this question to Pastor Nate, but I want to ask you this same question. What was some of the highlights that you experienced on that day? Like, what was like, wow, God, like,
yeah,
you did it.
I think one of the highlights was my nervousness of saying, let's go to two services so we have enough space for all the guests. You can get an anxiety that no guests show up.
And yeah.
You essentially took your church, which filled the space just fine, but split them in half. So you have half your church for both services.
Yeah.
First service happened and it was full, like a normal service. And so then I start to get nervous. Oh no, we have a second service coming up. It's going to be empty because this is all this. And then I'm starting to realize, like, wait, there's a lot of people I didn't see. And I'd be really sad if Easter came and they didn't even show up. And so then the second service came and it was higher attendance than the first. And so that was just, so we were almost, we almost hit 400, right? I think that's where we were.
Yeah, you were 430 or something like that.
Yeah, so just, it was crazy. It was crazy cool. People came back to church we haven't seen in a while, got to celebrate that. Just so good. We shared in our lead team meeting, but a family we've been praying for around like 9 years, just before Easter told us that they all signed up to get baptized. So like I was already in the mood to have a great Sunday and like be really excited.
Yeah.
And the momentum just kept going. Like we had a great service this Sunday. We had new guests still come this Sunday. So it's not like Easter's the only time we put effort into anything, or Easter's the only time our church invites people. Like,
right.
We're still meeting friends that people are inviting. And so I think those were some of the biggest. The other is just the fact that I was sick and had no voice, but we have such a killer team that I was able to just step back and they still carried it, honestly, better without me. Like, they just did a great job. So I think those were some of the biggest highlights that were really great.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think one of the things, the momentum that you mentioned, I think is still like going pretty good for us. And even yesterday when we were having all staff, we were talking, we were averaging, we averaged 500, so which is nice for us to know, man, we are going into the right direction. So, cool. That's cool. Yeah. Absolutely. And also, you talking about baptism, we have baptism coming up this week. Yep. 12 signups. That is again just a celebration of what God is doing in people's hearts and in the church. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's fun. I get to baptize my nephew this round. So a family we've been praying for 9+ years, and my nephew. So
that's awesome. So special.
I'm really excited. Yeah, it was really funny. Like my nephew, he saw me after he signed up and he just points at me. And I'm like, yeah. And he points at himself. He's like, yeah. He goes, baptize. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna.
Oh boy, that's so funny.
He was so excited. So it's gonna be awesome. So much fun.
Yeah. Well, you started off this series, Joel, Book of Joel. Five. No, you did incredible. All right. it's not the whole book that we are talking about, but I think it's the it's one chapter we're dissecting it. So the chapter two.
You know what it seemed like, which made it hard. We're almost taking, because like the day of the Lord, right? That was this week. That's all three chapters.
Pretty much.
But then we look at the other weeks we're covering and it's like, oh no, if I go into, you know, the every level of the day of the Lord, like everything, I'm going to steal the content for next week. And so it was actually really hard because it wasn't really in chapter two. Because it's the locust storm in chapter one, chapter two is the coming day, and then chapter three talks about the ultimate day. And so I was like, well, shoot, I'm taking this whole book. And so trying to be really careful to make sure that we like give the content that's needed for that day.
Right.
To where it still makes sense, but we can still get deep into each kind of topic or category as well, you know?
Right. I think you did a really good like foundation for the upcoming weeks. Because like, as you said, like, talking about it, you don't want to talk about the other events that is happening. But I think you bringing, even talking through like when it started, the map that, not the map, that the image that you had.
Yeah, yeah, like
your own
timeline, a recap by me. Yeah.
I like what he said. Yeah, this is the recap by me.
I didn't want people to think it was like the definitive, this is the outline, this is the exact timeline of the day of the Lord.
Yeah.
I just wanted to put a little bit of like, hey, it's missing some things. Just so you know, like,
I think that was neat. I think that was neat. So like you bringing that contrast, like how it started to the day of the Lord, how it is right now, laying that foundation. Let's talk about that, right? Let's talk about, first of all, how was your sermon prep for this week? Like,
So I made the joke in the message, right? Joel is so small that when you decide you're going to do a Bible study on Joel, 3 days later, you're done your study. And so, you know what I mean? Like, unless you are, I just feel like unless you're preparing to like write something where you're like, I need to pull the content out, you can just read it, find some studies and like move on. And like 3 or 4 days later, you're done reading it. And I need to like live in content a little longer than that to really absorb it.
Yeah.
And so every time that I read the book of Joel, I think I've never read it before. And then I finish it. And I'm like, no, you've done this before. You've read this before.
Yeah.
And so I made that joke when we kind of announced we were going to do this series. And Haley and I joked, my wife Haley and I joked, we were like, I don't know if I've ever read the book of Joel. And I was like, I don't think I have. I can't remember what it's about. And then like a day later, Pastor Nate called and was like, hey, I'd like you to open up the series on the book of Joel. And I was like, that's crazy because I just told Haley I don't think I've ever read that. And, and then obviously I opened it, read it. I'm like, okay, no. I've done this before. I just can't ever remember the content. So I did it in about a week. I knew the concept, obviously. The day is not just found in Joel, the day of the Lord. It's a concept throughout the entire Bible, as we learned. So knew the concept, knew a lot about it. It's really what was Joel bringing. And so I just listened to, you know, I listened to a bunch of sermons, read a bunch of commentaries, and just tried to figure out like what can boil it down the best. And so there was a really great message that Pastor Nate had sent to me. The one thing is a lot of the focus was about the land being restored. So his sermon was, I will restore. But the problem was we have a week later in the message about the land being refreshed.
Right.
And so I just felt like, all right, I don't want to cover that because it may feel redundant and there's plenty of context in the day, and then just finding some recaps of the day and really, really seeing like the timeline of everything. So one of my favorite content creators for biblical teachings is Tim Mackey and the Bible Project. So they had a fantastic day of the talk of the day of the Lord that went through a lot of the origin, which is a lot of what I covered. And then just trying to say like, all right, well, what does that mean now for us? And try and drive it home. Because that's the one thing Tim Mackey just gives you the history. Yeah. It's a history thing. And then a little bit of like, and this is what it could mean for Christians. But it's not never like, no, this is how we have to deal with it. And so I like that he kind of set that up for me and then think through like, all right, let's think about in our church's context.
Yeah, like whilst preparing this, did anything struck your heart like, wow, like God, like this really, or like that moment, you know, like I have those moments like when I'm writing sermons, like I'm like, oh, wow, like that really struck my heart in a deeper way. Did you have that moment when you were like writing this?
Yeah, I think so. I think one, I'm always amazed at how often you can return back to Genesis through most concepts. The fact that this book, so old, keeps, you know, you keep going through, and it's just so obvious that people lived and breathed these scriptures to where even when they're writing theirs, it's like, you know, the way we quote The Office and everyone knows that it's the TV show The Office is like how they can reference the old scriptures. And so when Joel's talking and saying things to us, we're like trying to grasp what it is, but to his readers at the time, it all made sense because they all knew the scriptures as deeply as he did. And so I think that was a really neat thing of how you can keep seeing it go back. And also that promise that like, this has been the plan all along. Jesus wasn't the fallback plan. Jesus wasn't the, all right, well, the flood didn't work. Freeing them from Egypt didn't work. Maybe I should have started over and not listened to Moses, whatever it may be. And then, no, it was always this plan and working through that. And then, I'm trying to think of what the main thing that really stood out to me. Oh, just the idea of in this plan that for God to remove evil from the world, like everyone says, well, why doesn't God just do it? To reconcile with the fact that he'd have to wipe all of us out because we are evil in our hearts.
Right. And yeah.
So it's like, you know, I think we all know that that is the answer without Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Every movie where we create artificial intelligence to protect the human race, they all come to that conclusion. And so we write it into our movies that it's like you build a robot nation and hey, protect the planet. And they're like, okay, humans are the worst thing for the planet, so we'll kill all the humans.
Yeah.
And so
it's like we
know because we're writing it into our fiction that the only way to make the human race or Earth a perfect place would be to get rid of humans. And so to reconcile that, I think is a big deal. And just to see that like God wants a way around that.
Yeah.
Is a big deal.
I was just thinking through it yesterday. I liked how this was just, we started the series because yesterday was eclipse. A lot of like,
I didn't even think about that. I should have referenced that.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, what a perfect start.
It's the day of the Lord.
It is the day of the Lord. But like, there's a lot of teaching going around like, all right, this is it. This is it. This is the day of the Lord. The wrath is coming.
Yeah.
God's wrath is coming upon the people, you know, but just thinking through, hey, God loves us so much. He loves us so much. It's not like you started off really well. Like, hey, like when people think about the day of the Lord, it's like, oh, judgment is coming. But Joel is bringing a different message into it, in a different perspective. Hey, let's cry out. Let's cry out to God.
Yeah.
Let's fast and pray. Don't be scared of this day. It's not something that we need to be scared of, but let's take this time to reflect. Let's take this time to gain power. Let's take this time to just resurrender and let God do his thing. And when we think of it like, oh my gosh, eclipse, God, you know, is this the rapture? Is this something that we need to like, oh my gosh, like I'm not ready yet. I'm not.
I think through, the locust storm comes in Joel and he's like, have we ever seen anything like this before? Talking about the plagues. And so the eclipse is happening. Oh no. I looked it up. Exodus 10:21. The Lord said, stretch out your hand and make the sky dark over Egypt. Like, oh no, has anything happened like this before? Like,
right. So just thinking through like, hey, we don't have to be scared. We don't have to be scared, but are we ready to take our hearts and reflect on God and just pray as he is declaring, Joel is declaring, hey, let's declare fasting.
Yeah.
Let's declare fasting.
This is a huge mourning.
Yeah, just set aside everything. Don't bother about it. Let's depend on God. Let's take this time to depend on God and see how he can bring the breakthroughs. So I think it is so important, even like just thinking through even now, like, you know, when God gives us some warnings here and there, it's not the time to get scared as a church or like as an individual, as a believer. It's not time for us to get scared. But I think it is God saying, hey, like, it's time for us to cry out. It's time for us to, you know, set aside a time where you need to cry out for the nation. You need to cry out for the church. And like, you know, even a few days ago, there was earthquake in New York, New Jersey, you know, some got affected in Boston, you know, stuff like that. And this eclipse, you know, everything, like it is happening. It might be a sign that we know Jesus is returning soon. We know it. But are we taking that time to reflect and say, hey, this is the time. This is the time. Let's pray. Let's get into the word and know that God will come through for us.
Yeah. You know what a random thought popped in my head? We can go back to on topic. Because obviously, Jesus returning soon is something we've been saying for a couple thousand years.
Years.
And people who don't believe in the Bible or Christianity might be like, boy, the cried wolf idea, like you keep saying it. But I just thought through, like, also if you are believing everything that science says about the planet, this is totally random. This has nothing to do with the sermon. But like people are saying the earth is billions and billions of years old. It's like 2,000 years of saying Jesus is coming back really isn't that long in the grand scheme of like what they, I don't know. It's just a total random, like, it still makes sense to say if you're ascribing the same belief of like the earth is billions of years old, like, yeah, God's been working on it. And 2,000 years is a blink of the eye in comparison to what you say, like the whole earth is. Anyway, totally random.
No, that's true. Like I read an article last night or this morning, like how now researchers are saying like all this Big Bang theory and all that is actually wrong because it cannot. Like eclipse does not happen just because of events and particles just, you know, coincide.
Oh, 100%.
But there's a power that happened behind it. And it's like, oh, that's fascinating. All the researchers are doing it. And now knowing like, oh my gosh, and they are admitting, oh, there's a supernatural power behind this.
Right. Well, yeah, that's, I think from the beginning, they've said that type of idea of like, it's the perfect theory, except for the fact that it's missing one component that we can't figure out how nothing comes from, how something comes from nothing.
And so it's like,
listen, I think your theory's pretty spot on. You're just missing the part where God spoke it.
Right.
And then bang, everything was created after he spoke. You know what I mean? Like, it's I think so. The one thing I do think about is you had talked through the day of the Lord not being something that we should be afraid of. But I think there's a tension that should exist to where, again, it's that whole idea of like celebration after celebration after celebration through the Passover about the day and God rescuing them, believing he'll rescue them again. And then to find out the day is pointed at them. Now it is scary. It is scary because all of a sudden the army that has been protecting you, God's army, he's pointing it at you. And I feel like even scarier for them because they've seen what the heck happens to the enemies of God. I think in their context, it must have been horrifying that these prophets are now starting to say, like, the day is on us. And I think when we think through the day of the Lord, the ultimate day of the Lord, the thought of it being upon us should be terrifying. But the promise and hope of Jesus is what relieves that. The problem is there are still so many people that are affected by it. And that shouldn't scare us, but it should break us.
Right.
And there should be this urgency to share Jesus with people because I don't want them to go through this. You know what I mean? I don't want them to go through judgment, but without us recognizing the evil within us, how is God going to eradicate evil? And so it just comes down to that idea. And one thing that I thought about just a religious mindset when I was writing this, I couldn't figure out how to get it into the message. But I wonder if one of the biggest problems of Israel was a little too much enjoyment of the day of the Lord happening to people.
Like that.
You know what I mean? Like, was part of their issue or turning point that there was this like new pride that was like, oh man, when the day of the Lord comes, the bloody massacre that comes from it is awesome. They enjoy. And I just, again, think through in our context, like when we see people stuck in sin.
And
I even feel it sometimes where you're like, well, that's your own problem, stupid. Why are you doing that? Right. And you start to like enjoy when they get what they deserve. You know what I mean? Because again, like I think whatever you're giving into that's of this world, like that's your choice. God's letting you do that and you're going to experience the consequences of sin.
Yeah.
And to get an enjoyment out of someone else suffering through the consequence of their sinful state.
Right.
I think, I just wonder if that's like one of the things that Israel had started doing, like, enjoying seeing, which I guess we kind of covered thinking about like to Israel, the enemy was the other human.
Right. Yeah. And they didn't even know God was pointing towards them, like even thinking through, right. The 40 days, 40 years in the wilderness, like God is providing them food. And then at certain time, they're like, they're enjoying, first they enjoyed that food and now they're murmuring, is this all you got? Like, we're sick and tired of this. Like, is it, but you know, they forgot, like, they
you don't know how to make Twinkies? Come on, man.
You know, so I'm like, it's like, oh, you enjoyed this thing for this long. And now you're like asking, is this all what we are going to get? Like, is this what? So like, I get like, yeah, maybe it is just, oh, they're getting used to this norm. Like, even in our context here, we can just get used to the things that we do and forget really like God may be calling you to higher things. Like, hey, are you giving? Yeah, I'm giving. Like, my tithe is already going, but are you participating in kingdom builders that is beyond that you're giving? Or, hey, I'm serving. Where? Like, oh, here. Is your skill set more? God has blessed you with this. Can you step up and serve in a much higher capacity? Or you're just cool with what you have? Like, you know, same thing. I think, like, thinking through all those things, it's, you know, God pulling us from that. Hey, like, Israel, like, it is you. Like, yeah, I've been doing stuff with your enemy, but now, like, you've gone too far.
Yeah.
Too far that you need this. You need to, you know, come back to the first love.
Yeah.
And I, when you mentioned about the fear of the Lord, like, you know, it's a good fear, even like for us, even now, like we fear the Lord. We have that fear of God, for God and for everything he's doing, that comes out of like that reverence. God, you're almighty. It's not out of that, like, I'm scared what he's going to do,
right?
Or like, man, but like, if you're in sin, then that's another story. Like, it is like, oh my gosh, like, judgment or like, but still, God still loves us. God still cares for us. That if you cry out, just as, you know, Israel, or like just as every sinner does, God is sovereign. God is faithful to bring that forgiveness upon us. But if that does not happen, then the day of the Lord is kind of something that we're like, oh, what? Like, it is coming soon. But for the believers in that fear, like, yeah, we need to have the burden for that unbelievers.
Right.
Man, like, it should break us really bad. Like, even now, like, yeah, churches, we have attendance, you know, average attendance 500, but like, still, there is a lot more people that in our town, like, we yet to be reached. Can we do something for them? Like, hey, can we spread this thing called Jesus into their hearts, into their lives, into their homes? So yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think with you bringing up just the fear of the Lord, I feel like we have a different idea of what that may look like. But to know, like, God is not an abusive father.
Right.
And so it's not like the wincing every time he moves his hand to grab a glass of water and you like wince, like, oh, I thought you were going to hit me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not an abusive father. So to fear a father that's not abusive is like, I fear letting him down. I fear breaking his heart. I fear not doing exactly what he asked, because if he's not proud of me, I don't know how to react. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah,
I mean, that's the fear of the Lord that we have. It's just a little different. We just have such broken households that to compare him to a father, you know, kind of works
right.
Like that.
Yeah. Like, fear in this earthly realm is like so scary.
Yeah.
You know, so like, oh my gosh, like, it's coming, or like, no. But like, you know, in the other spectrum, it's kind of like, as you mentioned, God, like, are you, do you count me a faithful servant?
Yeah.
Do you count me as our heart is running, chasing after you? Do you say that about us? Like, are you proud of me? Like, are you really proud of me when you look down on us and our lives and how we lead? Are you really happy about the way that we live according to your standards? You know, so that I think even like it's a good practice to just pause, like we talked about, like stillness in the other sermons. Just stay still and see, check yourself. Hey, if God comes in and say, hey, I'm looking down and scanning your life, is he going to say, hey, are you, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you to working through your crap, or like,
you messed up a whole lot, but I'm still proud of you.
Yeah. You know, or like, man, you really messed up. Or like, you know, just you're not walking the path that I want you to walk, you know, so that kind of idea. So yeah.
Yeah. I think and even within that, right, the idea of like, are you proud of me? And I think through like the idea of the ultimate day of the Lord, where judgment is coming, and we think through like, man, these people were good people. They did help people. They, you know, they just had some flaws about them. Like, why would we have to punish them?
Yeah.
You know, and all this other stuff. And I just always think through, like, now thinking through what was the original sin really about? And it was about us knowing good and evil and just deciding for ourselves.
Right.
And this is like, and it's like a micro way to do it now that we've justified it so much that we're tricking ourselves into thinking that God is harsh.
Mm.
But you have to draw the line.
Right, right.
You have to draw the line, or else it is not fair.
And
so within the judgment of good and evil, like, if the line isn't drawn, like, how awful would it be to punish your kid based off of just how you were feeling that day and not off of a line that you've drawn? You know what I mean? Like, hey,
yeah,
we don't do this. And then they do it, but they had a really rough day. So you're like, well, I guess you had a rough day. I'll let you hit your sister today. That's fine. I understand. You're just tired.
Right.
But no. You hit your sibling.
Yeah.
And that's a line. I don't care if you're tired.
Yeah.
I don't care if you need your nap. I don't care if you're hungry. You're not going to hit again.
Right.
And that's a fair parent, right? Versus the one who flexes, because then the kid doesn't know. And so, like, God has to draw the line somewhere. And
that's a good way to put it.
And he's a just God. And so he draws the line at any evil, any evil.
Right.
And so to think through like the ending judgment to where it's like, well, you've stolen from people. You've lied to people. You, in your heart, you turned people down. You made people feel less than so you could feel good.
Mm.
And there's going to be people that aren't evil people that'll be like, oh, but you don't get the situation. Like, my dad always said I'd never amount to anything. So like, I had to push those people down so I could amount. And it's like, no, you're altering good and evil right now. You're back in the original sin, and Satan has worked his way to make it so minute that we've made God evil.
Right. Yeah. I like how it is so true what you said. Like, we choose what is good. We have grown so much that we just say, all right, for in our eyes, that does not sin. So it's okay to do it. Oh, for, you know, because like, yeah, we are Christians. So we don't do how the world does it, but we still do it in our own terms and conditions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, really, like, that is still like we are altering what is good and evil. So like even last week, I was just talking through one of my friends back home, and we were like talking back and forth, and I was like, hey, you know, here we don't do it, but back home you guys do it because it is so common in your within your people that you do it, you know. So you're saying I'm living in sin because I did this. It was just wearing a ring, right? In our culture, we don't do jewelries.
Oh yeah.
You know, so when they look at, oh my gosh, Stephen went to United States and he's living under this mighty sin, you know, he's doing all this stuff. And I'm like, wait a second. All right, let me pause. All right. And then I asked another question to them. Hey, you dye your hair. You dye your hair black, you know, like, so in our culture, if you dye black, that is fine. But if you color your hair like brown or like blonde, it is kind of like, oh my gosh, like,
yeah,
like you're under whatever.
There's so I'm some like, religious rules there.
Yeah. So I'm like, hey, like it is color, whether it's black, brown, blue, it is color. So you think it is fine because, you know, your environment, you created that. So just knowing like same thing, like we can get into that mindset. Oh, this sin is fine. That is bad.
Right.
Because our environment is okay with it, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so good. So yeah, that last, I think that last big point is just another thing that really stood out of the idea of the judgment that's coming, the war that's coming. Mm. Who's the real enemy? Mm. And how does God want to reconcile that? And I think like the idea of Jesus and the real enemy, it wasn't Rome, and right now it's not Biden, and it's not the, you know, Republicans or Democrats or whatever it is that you're starting to say, like, oh man, they're against Christianity, they're all, you know, all this other stuff. It's like, no, the real enemy. And I think the one thing that's really stood out over the last few months was in this soul series.
Yeah.
When Pastor Nate started to talk through, like, I don't know what he said. And I kind of said something similar, but I said sin instead of soul, but that soul hurt or sin hurt and how it comes out, and that we can see people, even if they're being malicious.
Yeah.
That there is something in them that's causing them to do this, and it's the effect of the real enemy. And that we can look at other human beings that are just awful and somehow try and see them in the way that Jesus sees them.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And to see, like, oh, they're doing this because their sin has brought them here. And I think, and I just, like, they don't even like it. You know what I mean? Like, they're, and even if they do, they feel trapped and stuck and, you know, whatever it may be. But to look at people and to see through them to the real enemy.
Yeah.
I think that's really hard. And I think I'm still learning how to do that.
Me too.
But hearing it in the Soul series, and then even thinking about this, like Jesus coming after the real enemy, that's just a hard thing for us to work through. And I feel like that's like the big prayer that I've been trying to have, that I know, I just feel like we as a church should try and have, of like, God, can we see everyone the way that you see them? You know, that's something, honestly, that Pastor Rob and I had talked about a long time ago, like just the idea of like, can I see everyone the way you see them? And see that hurt and see how to fix it. And can I be spiritually strong enough to where even if the enemy is trying to use them in a way of temptation, that you can see through it and be like, man, this person's trapped and they're trying to tempt people into this, but they're trapped too. Who's going to help them?
Yeah.
And I just think there's some humans that Christians don't touch with a 10-foot pole. Like, they won't address. And that's just wrong. It's just wrong. We've got to figure out how we've got to figure out how to do that better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
View people and see their hurt in it.
You know, that is, yeah. It is so hard, right? It is so hard to see through that. A lot of times we fail. But again, going back and praying, God, like, show us, teach us, you know. That's one of our prayers, me and my wife's prayers too. Like, as you mentioned, like, we're like, God, yeah, show us Jesus, like, because this world is so hurt. This world is so broken. They don't know you. I often tell people, hey, let the people see Jesus in us first.
Yeah.
Even before they step into the building or even they attend worship, you know, they should see something unique in us first. As we greet, as we do the hi-fi, they should see something in us that sparks something in their heart initially. And then the worship and the message will be like, wow, like, God is so real, you know? And I think a lot of times, sometimes, like, we just have that blockage in our heart. Like, all right, my day is going not too well, so I'm just going to treat people because my motive, because of mood swings or whatever, like, I'm crappy today. I didn't have my coffee today or whatever.
That's true.
You know, so it's just like, can I work through that? Like, can I work past my sleepless nights, like crankiness or whatever, and like treat other people with honor, respect, and what they deserve, just as Jesus did.
Yeah. So good. So good. Yeah. I'm excited to see how the rest of the series goes, to keep diving into all the different topics now diving into like the process of the day and what will we see? What will it look like?
It'll be fun.
It's going to be really good. The last thought I have is always, when you try and picture through the idea of what do we look like in light of eternity? Like, when this last day happens and the evil's removed from us.
Yeah.
And I just love the idea. Imagine, no matter who you're talking to, not having to assume their agenda in the conversation. Such a small thing that's like all I do. I feel like someone wants to share something. I'm like, all right, what are you trying to say? And dang it, if I didn't keep getting proved right every time I have that thought, I would stop doing it. but it's a hard time. It's like, we have to work through like, well, why are you saying this? And to know that, like, when the day comes, like, we don't have to worry about what's behind those words. Hey, what's behind those words? What do you mean when you say
such
and such? Like, what do you mean when you say that? And
good thought.
I just think that's like one of the highlights of the idea of like, oh my gosh, like, even the little things. You have a conversation, you're like, do they hate me? Right? Like, I think they hate me. And the fact that in eternity, like, we won't have to deal with that type of thing. It sounds beautiful.
It's all about the celebration.
Yeah. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. So excited for the upcoming weeks. Pastor Nate will be here this week. And then he's going for Africa. We have a team that is traveling to Africa for 2 weeks. Yep. And then worship night is coming up.
Worship night. Yeah.
Excited for that.
The final worship night of this building. And we said it, we had our all staff meeting last night. We said it there, like, it's a reason to celebrate this building. The gift of this building was how we were financially able to move forward with multi-site, to have a home base that we owned, made it possible for us to move forward and like, thanking God for the churches that have come out of owning this building. And so if you're listening to this, the insider thing that's going to be really fun is I have the video we made to promote the idea of purchasing this building. And so we're going to use that a little bit in the start of the night to remember. And it's really cool. We're not going to play the whole video because after the video, it goes to me singing from 10 years ago and it sounds so awful that we will not watch that part. But everything Pastor Nate did was beautiful.
So if you're listening, come by. It's going to be a night of celebration. Yeah. We're going to thank God for everything he has done and still about to do in this new building.
Yeah. We're scheduled to close. We're scheduled to close in just a few days.
Yeah.
Prayer for that, that goes smoothly. No hiccups come into play. Because man, so exciting.
Do you have any resource? Usually we give resource, but.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the inspiration for what I had done was the Bible Project.
Yeah.
They have a Book of Joel recap. Six minutes long or so. That's really great. And they have a Day of the Lord recap as well. Both are really great to give you the idea of kind of everything that's happening. So like if you want some good groundwork to get into the rest of these messages, I would watch those. And every time they do a video, they did a podcast series before they released it. And so if you want to, you could dive in. I don't know how interesting it'll be for you, the listener. I know you would like it, Pastor Stephen. But I think it's just, their resources are pretty cool. So that'd be perfect. A resource. And then watch the Left Behind series, maybe. I'm just kidding. Don't watch the Left Behind series. That'll just scare you. Don't do it.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy, for sharing for preaching on Sunday and sharing your insight about the sermon.
Yeah,
love
thank
you.
You.
Love you all.
Thanks for chatting with me.
Yeah.